Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Wednesday, November 26, 2025, the day before Thanksgiving here in the United States. How are we doing, Nico?
We're doing good. We're hanging out down here in sunny old Florida. You know, this is the only time of the year that we come back to this state, and the only reason we come back to the state for mom, right? So it's been good though. Not necessarily on vacation. Yeah, that's again, like to have to come back here, that is the only reason. There's no other reason. We definitely don't miss it. We haven't even been here. We weren't here a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, don't miss it.
Well, thankfully, after the long drive, you got to unbox a brand new model. Brand new model, is that the right? Whatever.
I mean, yeah, that's a
new model.
I try to just drive down here. And in the midst of driving down here, all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, I log back in, you know, the other night. Opus 4.5. Here you go.
Nowhere.
Yeah, here you go. Opus 4.5. Oh yeah. By the way, we changed all of the ways in which we do all of our usage now. So like everything's Opus. Like Sonnet, don't use Sonnet. If you that's a iffy. Opus, please use Opus. And like, I don't know. I of course we all thought, you know, OpenAI. Like, how could they possibly be undone? At this point, really, in order to take the lead, would have to be a GPT-6 drop, right? You couldn't even do the 5.5 or anything like that. It's funny because Dario talks about not wanting to spur on an arms race for AI. At the same time, we talk about us being so very nearly ahead of China in the AI arms race. And in the same 7-day period as one of the most powerful multimodal models we've ever seen drops. And I mean, was jaw-dropping for me in terms of like the level of performance difference from everything else and Gemini 3. And now, okay, again, they're all tools in a toolbox. So I'm not going to speak to it from like a overall model standpoint. I'm only going to speak to it from a vibe coding standpoint. I was floored last week. Like just floored at not only how accurate, but also just how fast Gemini 3 is just able to just crush stuff out all day long. Anti-gravity, just the most lethal thing you could possibly use right now for IDE. And then and this 4.5 dropped.
And I'm just going to share my screen real quick. I need to start I just took a screenshot. Because like we had mentioned before, like when this was Opus 4.1, they do have the tooltip here.
Yeah.
But like it definitely did not say this last week, where it's like most capable for complex work, right? It's a positive statement about this model. Last week it was like basically like clunky, consumes usage faster.
Like, yes.
And,
yeah.
And they were trying to push people over this way.
Yeah. It was like most powerful model consume high usage, right? Like, yeah, consumes high usage.
Right. I don't even remember. Like, I remember reading it last time. It's basically like, don't use this one.
It's what
the message was saying. And it's because like, okay. Like, and now it's most capable. Right.
And I mean, there wasn't, you know, to Chris's credit, like there wasn't an announcement There wasn't an unboxing. There wasn't like a launch. There wasn't a scheduled anything. Happened on a Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, because I didn't see anything all day, and then that's it. And it's just like, okay, yeah, the cool kid's out, right? And
Yeah. And this is where like AI behind the scenes that can help test and iterate and test and iterate and like, because I think what.
this is, if I don't know, this is the next step though. Like, in terms of, look, again, from like a vibe coding standpoint, I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen damn near everything. Really, anti-gravity is about to become the most, like, Claude Code is now the most powerful CLI on the market. Anti-gravity is about to become the most powerful IDE on the market.
Yeah,
Next to
seems we
anybody
get rid
else
of those damn limits. Like,
that. Yeah. Well, it would, and again, like, that's the thing is anybody that's going to allow for Claude Code to be plugged in via login is going to see usage just skyrocket because it's unlike, okay, so like if you've used Gemini, it's great. I'm not saying it's bad or anything like that, just experience-wise, so you understand like what the difference is. And we did it last week, right? You can give a prompt to Gemini and you kick back and Gemini will spit out like, yeah, I'm gonna do this thing for you. And it's, you're reading the reply as Gemini is coding the stuff, and like in, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, not like it's a long amount of time. Whatever it is that you requested, probably within like 85 to 90% accuracy, like really, really good. Opus 4.5 is like, I mean, it's so much different in terms of it starts working on what it is that you requested. You're not going to get this like punch out of like, hey, here's what I've been doing and here's what I'm working on. You will get this like step by step and you get to see like what it's thinking through the steps. But it really is. I mean, most vibe coders, right? Like when I first started using Replit was definitely a scenario where you could just like, hey, here's the change I need to make. I'm gonna go grab something. By the time I come back, that change is done. This was a case of like, hey, I want to build out this little application. What do you think? And it took a minute, but when it came back, it was well more than what I had expected. Like well beyond what I'd expected. Because I've done like 2D animated games before and side scrolling games before. And that it's I don't want to say that that's been a benchmark necessarily, but with sort of like just a background in 80s gaming, it is. It's a bit of a benchmark. Like, okay, how close to Street Fighter Third Strike can we get without actually having to hand draw stuff, right? In terms of like fluid animation across screen, right? And it's not there yet, so it's not going to be like super shocking. But I think we're getting really close, and I actually have an idea of maybe how it can get there at its current rate or its current state.
Should I share your
So
screen here?
yeah, because I gave the same command to Gemini as I did to Claude, and Gemini came up with like, I'm not even really gonna, I'm just not. I'm not gonna bother showing the Gemini example because like it did really well and it did really well, but it's not this. So I just asked Claude, and this is within Claude. This is not Claude code. This is legitimate, just within a conversation. And I asked it like, hey, I want you to build a 2D side-scrolling adventure game. And I want it to essentially be like, as I kept describing it, I was like, yeah, 2D side scroll with platformer, main character has a boomerang, and it does this thing and has these effects. And by the time I got to the end, I was like, basically, we're talking about Castlevania with a boomerang. So normally in like most, again, like in most games that you'd vibe code, you'd have to come up with a lot. It would take you a lot. I have barely put more than four sentences into this beyond, like, I think like three sentences plus the initial, right? And the sentences that I've put in have really just been about like, hey, make it better. And it's not even like in what particular way make it better. It's just like make it better. This is the I'll have to go back to the previous iteration because this is the one that's meant for actually I can't play it on my screen. This is the mobile version that was requested yesterday. But there is actually the let me pull up the PC version. I can't say really fast, but reasonably fast. And I was like, yeah, let's just make a two-player version of this game where we can play either like back and forth or whatever it might be, where people can play two players if they were playing something like Mario or what have you, right?
Yeah. Man,
And
and if we could
so, yeah.
just like take a step back and the tech stack required of the past to do what Nico just did, to have like a mobile version of the game being worked on, and here's the desktop version and both iterations intact and playable. Like,
Can you hear the sound effects, by the way?
Yeah,
Yeah,
we
this is
can.
so it's funny because you can't hear it yet. I don't know why it didn't do it in the first stage, but as we transition.
Wow. With sound.
It's like,
So interesting that it has sound. Right?
if So the levels are slightly
I gotta mute it so we can hear you talk. Yeah, man, this is wild.
There we go. As a there's a boss super that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, this is why I'm not good at streaming video games either. Like, you just gotta focus on the task at hand here. No, but I think like so many people will focus on kind of similar to like doing the Big Bang like marketing campaign and right, you get it done, and then the exact like find some random pixel somewhere that's out of place and like just destroys like the 20, 30, 100 hours that was put in there, like as if like none of the rest matters, no value was created at all. What are we doing? Right? The amount of effort something like that used to take. Right, just to get a proof of concept in front of somebody. Right.
And I gotta tell you, like, I know the video game thing is a video game thing. So I'll show some productivity hacks, probably tomorrow. Give these guys some Thanksgiving productivity hacks.
Yeah.
The things I've seen Opus do, it runs Python. Right, like it runs Python in chat window, so it doesn't even have to do this in Artifact. It'll run it in chat window now, and I mean it will build Python apps and run them as tools. So I had to, it doesn't matter because we all have to at some point. We all have to go index somehow in some way the HubSpot app marketplace, right? It's just a massive index. Updating, I don't know, every couple months, and you want to know the latest stats on it. It's usually a pain in the ass. It's usually a huge pain in the ass. Go ahead, ask Opus 4.5. it'll go get you all the stats for everything because it can just build its own scraper and go navigate. Yeah. And like a good agent, it is there, right? Like it just sits and waits for the page to load. It's just like a person. It's watching. Like we have gone. It's finally at the point, and it's not that I didn't before, but it's now at the point where full stop, shift, it's now digital intelligence. We're like, and it's not just because of a programming thing. Like I'm definitely going to start having, now that I can, thanks to increased usage and just the way that it's been rerouted, right? Like just that in and of itself is almost like a signal. It should be like a huge signal to everybody else that like, and it's not even like, hey, we want you to use this more. It's like everything that was in that post of like, it's the best. It's just hands down the best model out there. Like it destroys other models when it comes to SweetEdge. It's not even funny, right? Like Gemini 3 did great. Opus 4.5 just wrecks everything else. And it's because of this, you know, it seems like, oh, it's all coding, coding, coding. Because that is the underlying structure to everything that you use, right? All of the apps that you're using online, the underlying structure of them is coding. All of the cloud-based stuff you use online, coding. So if a model gets really good at coding, it also now becomes very good at getting one app to talk to another app. So like yeah. MCP is just a temporary bridge, technically. Like, I mean, I know like Ryan Ginsberg was posting about this, and I know some people have been posting about it on X about like, yeah, you know, this next generation is, you know, agentic, and people are talking about tool use like crazy, and like, oh, you gotta build these tools, and you know, if you get it almost sounds like custom GPTs to me. It's like if you get Claude to use this tool so that it can use this tool, and then you can just, you know, hey bro, I love hey dog, I heard you like tools. So at this point, it's like, all right, I'm seeing the exact same thing that happened with agents, but it's happening even faster when it went from like automations to agents with agents and tool use. And it's like, yeah, I would, but I don't think after like working with Opus, and I'm sure like Opus with tool use, I know for a fact it's got to be monstrous. But if it's that much better without me having to do that,
right?
Like how much am I doing that I really need that I really require that, right? Like we were talking about last week, like what problem do you have that the current models cannot solve? Like I really am interested I'm not even joking, from a white collar perspective, if you honestly have a problem that you feel like one of these models cannot solve for you, I would love to hear it. Really, I would love to hear what the problem is. Even if it's like a spreadsheet thing, if it's I can't do a PowerPoint, again, like really just play with Opus 4.5, right? It can legitimately take spreadsheet data and turn it into a proper presentation document right in chat window.
Yeah. It's like we need a different word like for the D in IDE. So if anti-gravity is integrated development environment, like Claude, and this is where I would expect most of them to go, right? It's like integrated productivity environment, or like do whatever you want, like in this environment, including the conversational stuff, like the projects. Like I look forward to the day where it's like, all the different projects can be like used like agents in terms of like just calling. Sometimes I feel like that's already happening if I go over to the Universal Claude, like that's outside of a project, and the context that he has now. And our ability to, again, curate and create the context that we want. Mm-hmm. Right. You can get intentional with it. Like yesterday, I was was joking with Riley. I was working on something with Claude. So Riley is a dude that we work with, and Claude, without additional context, will refer to him as a her, right? So I was finally like, can you store that in your memory? Like, this is a dude. And then, like, during the chat, as it was responding, it was like stored in memory. Like, Riley Powell is a man. And I just screenshotted that to Riley. I was like, I got you, man. Those are the things, like, if you don't, and even I have to get used to that level of curation. Because that's like, when you ask people like what problem it can't solve, it's like, well, it can't take 10,000 records and, you know, give us exact counts. Like, it can't do all the things that we know it's not like, the bulk challenges that would, like, you wouldn't even be able to touch from a human perspective. Like, those are the things that we call out. Like, then it takes me more work to, like, go and fix the response. I'm like, bitch, you wouldn't even have had a response. Like, you wouldn't even have touched that initiative or project or report. Like, you have the 10,000 records have been sitting messy for 5 years, right? And now you're actually caring about them. So just there, like, it's doing something, right?
And, you know, one of the things I'm going to mess around with, so, like, as these things keep getting more powerful and you guys keep saying they aren't quite as good, the only thing that does, as Chris well knows, is fuel the fire of spite within me, which makes me want to just, like, do things just to, like, really prove to people, like, wow, what, this is so crazy. So I think what I'm going to do, just as, like, this is, like, hey, screw around idea with this type of stuff. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect Opus to one of our portals. And then I'm going to ask it, hey, Opus, what's the data in our deal pipeline that's missing that would give us a greater holistic picture of what's going on in our business? You know, dirty data is one thing. Not knowing what the crucial data is that you're missing, it's a whole other ballgame, right? Because especially if you're a business that ships product and maybe your addresses are not correct. I don't know how many portals I've looked at where, like, you go to the trash information for properties and, like, It's in the tens of thousands in every single case that the addresses and stuff are not corrected and they're not fixed and stuff like that. And for people who don't understand how to use, like, Claude and other models, but most especially to use, like, Opus as, like, an agent to go into your CRM, right? In the same way, if you guys have watched, like, some of our shows, we've shown you how you can take agents to go into your Git repos and literally just go into every single file and go in and notate every single file and go handle a little job. And I was just playing around last night and connecting it to a sandbox. And I was like, hey, you know, why don't you give me a rundown? Because that's another thing. You know, Ginsburg showed it in the channel. We should show it tomorrow. It now can auto-compress its own conversation. So that whole thing of, oh, ran out of context window, and now it sucks because I got to jump to a whole new conversation. Or I think if you remember me saying something like, and this was only let's be fair. It's when MCP dropped. When it first dropped, I was like, this is great. But the context window is so limiting that it's completely worthless because you can't really ask that many questions before it craps out. That's not a problem anymore. So yeah. I asked it to run a fair audit, and it took as long as it wanted to take and compressed the conversation twice, but came back with a full audit. And I mean, in every respect that you would want to know. And it's so, like, with the simplest of questions, right? What data is missing? Where is it missing? What are the most crucial things that I need to fix first? And where are the largest problems that need to be resolved by, like, people, right? That you can't do, that we need to actually look at and fix. Four easy questions. I got back like a dissertation. Yeah. That was like, hey, here's this section. Here's the stuff that's working well. Here's the stuff that's not working well. Here's the stuff I can help you with. Here's the stuff you're going to have to tell me. Here's the stuff you guys are going to have to decide. Next section. Just through every like little hub that I asked it to go through. You know, we talked about, and we do, we have an episode, yeah. We have a different show, Tech Stack Reimagined, right? Like,
but match that with the
is boiling down to the one thing, right?
And match that with the HubSpot connector for Claude that was updated last week to basically, and so you don't have to build your own MCP anymore to create, edit, do all the things in HubSpot. You can use the HubSpot connector, which is just the on switch and then authorization with the portal. So then you can take that audit and then say, okay, go do that.
Yep.
Right. And as they expand these limits, because I've shown several times on video, like, it sucks when you're getting in on a roll and it does like one pass over HubSpot, and then the next pass, it's like at the limit. Right. Yeah. And so it's great. That's where I wasn't thinking about it from that perspective. I saw a Reddit thread yesterday about this compressed, summarization to expand limits. And of course, a lot of people complaining about all the context that gets lost when it does that. But it opens the door for these other use cases to really breathe, like take full breaths, basically. But also, like, the path towards the just unlimited usage, like, goes through bridges like this. Like, of course, as the thing compresses based on its context of you again. So if your whole context, kind of like mine, is not well understood throughout the world, and like I'm trying to bring a new concept out and it uses a bunch of ambiguous language and tries to help, like, it's just like any human at this point. Like, if I come back to Nico next week and be like, you remember that thing we talked about? At that point, Nico's got like a really compressed version of that thing with, as the compression happened, right? It the context shifts a little bit. It stops shifting once every week we're talking about that thing and the context summarization builds, the memory builds. This is why all these layers are so important. And when I'm excited as people start to suggest that like RAG has been figured out, right? Because that's really what we need. And that's the thing, like once that is in place, which it feels like we're pretty much there in a lot of these situations, like you got to start moving to using these things, to using like this collaborative space. Yep. So that you can understand like the how, right? Because when you ask that question about what it can't handle, like, it's going to be those like, oh, I want to be the human in the loop that just gives the task and then the output is ready. Just stop doing that. Like,
yeah.
Like, be the human in the loop that works with Claude in this case to develop in proof of concept and like get that process started with tasks and planning and all that stuff. And then you're there at the end to say, mm-hmm. Okay, this is where my tweak is needed. Mm-hmm. And the magic that can happen when you treat it like that, because this whole like 98% is done and you just need to add this little splash of like nuance. Yeah. And then it nails it. Like, you would not have gotten there in like 6 month time frame, right? If you even decide to take the project on at all. We're running long. It's an exciting time, folks. You gotta dive in here. We'll be back next week, I think, after the holiday. Thanks so much, Nico. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see you next time.
You as well, sir. Have a good one, guys.